And you release the Esau and the Jacob into the market. The Esau gathers the 10 books and goes home and he starts reading. The Jacob scratches his head and says, Nana, wow. How man go do now? So you know what he does? He just says, I don't even get money, safe. Now only one, where have you buy? So he buys one book out of 10. It happens to be book number 9 of the lot. Esau is at home. He's on chapter 1 of book 1. He's reading sequentially. The Jacob man goes home with one book. It is the only one he bought because that's the only one he had money for. It turns out to be the only book that contains the key that opens his own lock. Do you get my point? So he opens that book, he reads it, and then he operates the keys inside, and he succeeds while Esau is still reading. I hope you are getting what I say. See, that's how the realm of the spirit works. It doesn't really have words. It has forces. It has influences. The words that come out are to communicate the forces. That is why, listen, no matter how good or how bad your English is, you listen to a message, you can get exactly the same amount of force. I don't know what I get. The man is there speaking plenty grammar, speaking English. You just hear only two things. And with those two things, God has poured the spirit inside you. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So that's how it works. So Jacob there just reads one book. Esau is reading everything. There are different keys in the books. Only that one can open the lock relevant to their environment. That was the only one Jacob read. And the man, you say, that guy is very lucky. He said, but this man read more than him. He said, that's why Solomon said, he appears, I see time and what? Chance. Why did he pick only that book? It might be for a reason as silly as, I just like the color. The way they put the red and the blue, I think it's very nice. Or it can be as trivial as, I don't know how many of you remember Premier Lottery in Nigeria. Many years ago, Premier Lottery. How many of you remember? When Naira was still like a Naira to the dollar, or 75 kobo to the dollar, they were giving out 100,000 Naira as a star prize Premier Lottery. There was a girl that won in one particular day. How did she buy the ticket? It was a 1 Naira ticket or 50 kobo ticket those days. And she bought something and the person was wasting time with change. It's okay, if you don't have change, give me one Premier Lottery ticket. And bought one Premier Lottery ticket and won 100,000 Naira when Naira was 1 to a dollar. It can be as silly as that. But the man gets, do you get my point? He picks that book that contains his key. That's because there is a force pushing him which even he doesn't even recognize. Please, I hope you are following the point I'm trying to make here. You are getting what I'm saying. So look, that's how the power of God works. You walk in the realm of that spirit. And I will say something, that's how God wants us to walk. It is not by intellectual reasoning. It's good to, when we are teaching the word of God, we learn basic principles, things, how to step, how not to step, how to walk, and how not to walk. But the main thing you are getting is not the one your brain is imbibing. No, take that from you. It's not the one your brain is imbibing. It is the spirit that is being communicated while those words are rolling across. I mean, there are people I see, and I say, this fellow can never fail. Listen, he won't even die. How do I know? Because one day we're speaking, and he says, as an example, and several people have walked up to me like that, they say, for 3 years, we have listened to you every time you have spoken on radio. And they come and say, thank you, maybe they are leaving town. And in my mind, this guy can never die early, and he can never fail. It can never be average. Paul said, no, it's not as if we're educating ourselves. He said, our sufficiency is of God who has made us adequate as ministers of the new covenant. He said, we're an aroma. Now, look, one of the things I have learned is that, look, anybody who hears like that, God determined to bless the person and he sent the person to go and hear the word of blessing. I hope you can know what I'm going to say. Everybody just said this one. This guy can never be poor. He can't be poor. It's too late now to be poor. Why? Because you talk to the fellow and he's no. I'm serious. This is not. It's not a matter of pride. I didn't create me. I didn't call me to ministry. I didn't give me the anointing to teach. Listen, let me tell you the truth. I am an anointed person. I'm not bragging. Am I competing for a job with anybody? What am I trying to explain? There are people who say that they pray for 5 hours and study for 6 hours to prepare for a message. As God is my witness, all I need, all right, to preach a very powerful message is to be called up and given a microphone. It's not trying. No, I discovered it. In fact, it used to worry me that people, they pray and fast for days before they preach one message. Kick me out of my sleep. I say, Pastor Banky, please. 15 men have gathered. Any word for them? Where the mic? I'm not joking. No, I'm not joking about it. Listen, I've had desperate situations like that. But you know they fail. Once I just get down, settle my head, cool down, grab the mic. Sometimes all I need to say is the Lord. As soon as I finish saying the Lord is good, the message drops into my heart and I begin to preach it. I'm explaining something. Am I bragging? No. It's just my calling. It's called a gift. All right? That's what it's called, an anointing. That is why you will wake Jesus up from sleep. He will face what? The waves and say, peace be still. He was sleeping. There is this man I read. I saw him teach on TV. He was talking about the anointing. He said one day they invited him to come and preach somewhere. He traveled and he was sleepy. So when he entered the church, they were doing all the choir. Choir was performing. He sat down there and slept off on the chair. They thought he was in the spirit. He said he slept off. So the time that it was to call him up to come and preach was when somebody tapped him and said, sir, you have to go up now. He said, eh. That was when he woke up. As soon as he stood up to start walking forward, everybody on that roof fell under the anointing. He woke up out of sleep. I'm going to tell you the meaning of the word anointing. He said he was asleep. They tapped him like, sir, you're going up now. And he got up. So he just picked his Bible and got up from the seat. Everybody sitting on the row where he was sitting fell forward. Nothing he planned. Ken Hagin and Jill Lake will tell you different experiences. I heard the story one. I think it was Ken Hagin finished ministry. And he was tired. He said, let him lean on somebody. Put his hand down the person's shoulder. The person flew 9 feet away from him. Now, I'm trying to tell you the meaning of the word anointing. It's not somebody tries it. That's what Paul was explaining in that 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Therefore, I hope you got to my point. It's not anybody bragging. I'm explaining the principle. I have discovered this to be a matter of fact, and you will see it in life. That there is nobody who imbibes the truth that I preach. Listen, the person won't die early. If you were doomed for death too late, you are forced to live long. Number one. And number two, the reason is because they must prosper, succeed in the midst of adversity, that God might take glory from their lives. You are getting the point I'm making. So you see, to it's not as if the word of God, you now act upon it. No, that's what I'm trying to explain. It does what? It acts upon you. You come into a meeting feeling very hopeless. Then somebody prophesies and say, look, the curse upon you has been broken. You know, before you thought you were cursed because everything you didn't do. One young man asked me once, he said, oh God, this curse thing, I don't understand. I said, what do you mean? He said, why is there everything I did? Everything I have done, they don't seem to work. I think I'm going to say, you are not cursed, my friend. You have just been doing the wrong things. It's a matter of fact, I said, there's no curse upon you. Some people have been walking with greed all their life. That's why God has been trying to train them. I said, which one is cursed? I said, you cannot succeed until the time of your success. There's a time for your success. I hope you know that. There's a time for your abundant breakthrough. Until that time comes, you can't break through. I told him, how many curses were upon Joseph? A special anointing of blessing was upon him. Yet it was leading him from one trouble to the other until the time was ripe for God's promise upon him to be fulfilled. He wanted me to pray. I said, I better forget prayer. You don't need prayer. Just carry your Allah away. You don't need prayer. Bless my. You don't need any prayer. You're all right. Don't let Satan lie to you. You are very all right. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain here? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That you see, it is the spirit that works in you to make you now not only succeed now, but to obey God's will. And that's, you know, oh God, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. We will read that our Hebrews chapter 3 today. We will read that. We will read it. Amen. I said we will read it. As the time is going, but we will read it. Amen. Yes. But I've said all of this to get a point across to us that, listen, it is not as if we try to obey God. Paul said, it is God that is at work within you, both to will and to what? Do. Listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't try. This is, I have come to understand that. They did not try. They did not try. Are you getting me? They didn't try not to bow. It was not possible for them to bow. The strength to bow had been withdrawn from them. Are you following my point? It wasn't that time they made the decree. Long before, I told you that, look, what you will be in life, you make those decisions when there's no pressure. Then when the pressure comes, the Spirit of God carries you. That's why I wrote the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. You hear what I said? Listen, you know, you've heard me say this again. You know, widow of Zarephath is my major problem in life now. All of you know. Because the woman has been misrepresented. So I need to align the thoughts about her correctly. I said, listen, it is not when a prophet, listen, it's not when a prophet appears at your door and says, give your last meal, that you start giving last meals. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. It is not. The other meal she gave, it was while meal was plenty. Rain was still falling. There was still prosperity in the atmosphere. A stranger who was just plain hungry knocked and said, madam, good morning. Please, I never chop. Anything, D? Are you getting my point? And she gave. A son of the prophet passing by, probably one day just slow down near her door, and she gave. Do you get what I'm going to say? She had been given to those who didn't have before. Therefore, God poured the spirit of faith into her the day a prophet showed up with a word that was going to really, really liberate her from her troubles. What am I trying to say? You don't wait in the midst of famine and you now come and give one emergency breakthrough offering, thinking that tomorrow God will send Elijah with an anointing. It doesn't work like that. Do you get my point? Listen, that's one problem. Let me tell you the truth. Hear me now. If you were wealthy at the time and you became broke, and you started giving while you were broke, something's wrong with you, and you will not get any breakthrough. I'm prophesying to you that you will not get any breakthrough. But you will first kneel down and repent and say, God, for being selfish in the days of my prosperity, have mercy upon me. Do you get what I'm saying? Because you see, the gifts you have been given is still part of your selfishness. When you were plenty, you remembered only yourself. Now that you are lean, you are still remembering only yourself. Except that somebody said the only way to get more for yourself is to take out of the lean one that you have. What am I explaining? How will such a person come out of his troubles? He will kneel down and pray and ask for forgiveness. Do you get my point? And afterwards, listen to this. It is not a matter of trying to get for myself now. But afterward, I start living a life of generosity. Whether God gives or he doesn't. Do you get my point? And then the person is restored back into time of abundance. Now, please, get what I'm trying to explain. Let me not digress into that. So I'm saying that woman was able, just as an example, she was able to give in the time of difficulty, not because of her determination to give, but because she had been generous in the time of her abundance. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Therefore, God poured the spirit into her, making it automatic for her to obey Elijah. And listen to me, the way it must have gone on in her mind was that even if he's lying, at least he's hungry. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. That is, the spirit of generosity that was in her before was willing to give the man. Please get what I'm trying to say. I'm still emphasizing one point, that obedience to God, all right, is engineered by God himself if the heart is right. At least let me read this scripture. Please, I hope you've been getting my point. All right. Now, please go back there. Let's read from that Hebrews chapter 3. Now, what I want to do, most certainly maybe next time we'll complete it, or let me see how far I can go on it today. Now, from verse 1, it says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him. Now, I don't want to read everything because of that, but there's something there. He brought up the issue that Jesus is a high priest of our what? All right. Now, let's jump down, talking about that Jesus Christ. Let's go down to verse 12. It said, take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. Now, please, what he's talking about here, let me just quickly explain, is the fact that people disobeyed God. They knew the will of God, but they walked against the will of God. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Remember what I'm discussing is how to obey God's will when you have discovered it and you discover that there's no strength inside you to do that will. And I've said all of this that I have said to explain a principle that it is not your strength that God needs, even when it comes to obeying him, but he wants to supply the strength with which you will obey. Do you get the point? So that's what he's trying to explain. Now, he was not giving an example of people who had disobeyed in the past. So he said, take care, brethren, lest there should be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the Lord. He said, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. Now, please notice something that verse 13, what did he say? Encourage one another. That is one way by which you will not fall away from the living God through disobedience is by what? Encouragement. The kind of company that you keep. You know, I said that before. I just want to emphasize it. I said if you're a married man and adultery is not to be your portion, you shouldn't be in city center at night hanging out with those who have left their wives at home. Maybe you just married and they say they want to induct you to the club of married men. And all the babas with one or two girlfriends, one has divorced his wife and married another one, they all gather and they put communion, they set it to communion table. You know the communion table? It's wine. It's still communion, I told you that before. And they want to start breaking bread because you have just gotten married. You know what's happening? You are drinking the spirit of adultery. If I were your wife, I would divorce you that day. Because you have written, listen, you have written what your future will be like. Is that not what we are reading here? So that he said, let's encourage one another. You go and gather with the people who have set an example of disobedience. And they want to do an initiation service with you. And they are sharing communion. They break bread. Usually it is suya and chicken that they break. And then they pour wine, gouda and stout and that kind of thing. It is what? Communion. You are drinking of their spirit. Let's leave that and continue. Hey, what I'm telling you is true. It is true. It is very true. It's not as if they will just influence you. They are not influencing you. You have drunk their spirit and you have gone. That is, you have collected the spirit. You have collected what? The spirit. In the same manner you want obedience to God, you know what you do? You gather amongst those who are obeying God. Men, listen. Men whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Then, communion, there are different levels of communion. There's the one you go to church and you share. That is communion. Do you follow my point? It is communion. But there's a kind of communion which you don't have to formally bless the wine and bless the bread. You just sit down and you share food and you share words and you share a drink. And as you are, listen, where food is flowing, spirit they flow well. You think I'm joking? When you are sharing food, the spirit is flowing. So you are sharing amongst good people. You are a businessman. You gather amongst godly business people as they are talking. Do you understand what I mean? As they are talking, your idea, even what they don't say, you leave the place with something they did not say. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me tell you, when you get to short circles, sounds funny, but try this. Even if nobody buys the drink, you buy the drink. Make sure everybody is drinking. That's how the spirit is jumping up and down. Can be coke, can be anything, just be drinking. The important thing is not the bottles, but the people who are gathered around the bottle. Oh God, I wish you would understand. These are spiritual principles. You go to a village, Christmas is coming. He said they are doing youth age group festival. They sacrifice a goat, break bonded yam, break bottles, and all of you gather together. And you are, listen, all their bad habits, you are drinking it. When you become a big man, let me tell you how to handle your age group when you go home. Tell them, come and do it in my house. I will buy the food.
Come, everybody come and eat and drink. Before they start, you say an opening prayer. Declare your testimony. In this place, new things are about to begin because I am the light of the world. Anybody who drink, who eats your food and drinks your wine, he is ready to receive of your spirit. Don't kneel in their circle to gather together and put hand over you. What nonsense. They won't like me. Do you need them to like you? Go and succeed first. Just watch. Go out and go and succeed first and come back. That's when you hear, he has come. Everybody will gather. Say, oh, how are you people? Oh, sit down. Then you give them your own communion again. And you guys want to say, look, listen, believers, we have a stronger spirit. Let's not walk like slaves amongst men. We are kings and princes with God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now let's go and read in the scripture. He said, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today. He said, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Because that's how people get hardened. When they stay on their own, and every man's ways are right in his own eyes. Listen, you don't have an option. You don't have a choice. The only way to succeed, the only way to walk consistently in a manner pleasing to God is to be found in the center of good Christian fellowship. He said, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end. Now, please, I'm going somewhere. If you read from verse 16, he was not talking about the fact that they provoked him. He said, who provoked him when they had heard? What was he saying? It was those who disobeyed the word of God. It was when they heard and they still disobeyed that God was provoked. And that's what we're talking about. How do we hear and what? Obey. Now, remember we introduced that chapter 3 by looking at the fact that we have an apostle and high priest of our confession. Then I went in chapter 4, trying to explain those principles further. He said, now, because some people disobeyed, and therefore they died in the wilderness, he said, therefore, verse 1 of chapter 4, let us fear, lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. That is, they did not believe and obey that word. Now, he said, for we who have believed enter the rest. I'm going somewhere. Where I'm going is actually very far. I'm trying to build up to it. Now, what he was saying is this, that when God's word comes, obedience to it is how you enter into rest. And what Paul was explaining, what this book of Hebrews was explaining, is how people will come to the position of obedience so that they can enter into the rest of God. Now, please, let's jump down to verse 9. He said, there remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. For this reason, verse 11, he said, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. Now, this is where our talk actually begins. Verse 12, he said, what did he say? For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. Please, let me just quickly read on. He said, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in the time of need. Then he went on to explain some characteristics of that high priest. Please let me just read this verse and then I will leave it. Now he says that verse 7. He said, in the days of his flesh, talking about this high priest, he offered up both prayers and supplications, notice that, with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because he feared. I like the King James expression there. King James said he was heard because he what? He feared. He said, therefore, now notice this, He said, although he was a son, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Now, let me just stop there. That's what I wanted to read. I read a long portion. Let me summarize what I have read. Because of our time, I'll probably develop it next time. What have we read? The point is that, number one, it's the same thing I've been saying. God speaks, he gave them a promise. Now, having heard the promise, they disobeyed. Therefore, they displeased God and they died in the wilderness. He said, now that we have seen this, we should be afraid, lest anybody follow the same example of what? Disobedience. Don't forget, I told you the promises of God, the word of God doesn't ever leave anybody neutral. You either are blessed by it or you are judged by it. He said, because we understand this, we should be afraid. All right? So that we don't follow that example of disobedience. But then, they had the word preached to them, but they were not able to obey. How do we therefore walk in such a manner that we have the word preached to us and we are able to obey? He said, this is the issue. The word of God is alive and active. Now, let me summarize it. It doesn't demand your obedience. It works upon you if you believe it. That's what it means when it says the word is alive and active. Listen, people look at the word of God as a set of instructions. No, he said, this is not what it is. It is something that is alive. It works. It's able to do work inside your soul. He said, now that you understand this, what do? You use the same principle that Jesus used so as to obey God on the earth. Listen, people say Jesus could not have sinned. Listen, there are two ways to look at it. Did he have the human capacity to sin? Yes or no? Yes, he did. Otherwise, the Bible would not have said he was tempted the same way we were tempted. Do you get my point? Do you get my point? You can't say he was tempted the same way I'm being tempted if he had no capacity to obey the temptation. That wouldn't be a temptation. He said, but how did he handle it? He said, in the days of his flesh, he offered both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. How do you enter into death? It is through sin. So he cried to one who was able to deliver him from the temptations he was facing. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? And he was heard in that he feared. If you read some scriptures, it said he was pious, he was the right. No. The literal word is that he feared. That is, he saw the dangers. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He saw the dangers and he pulled back because of the dangers. He said, no, I will not disobey God. He said, follow the impulses of your heart, but know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. That is, we have come to understand that you don't misbehave on campus and quickly go and repent before you leave campus. So you now look like a good person. You have sown a seed. It will germinate in 20 years time. Listen, true repentance is what God needs before he applies the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. It's not magomago repentance. You know my magomago repentance? At least that's one phase. I remember a friend of mine. He said that was then. We chopped life. Girls, this and that. But now it's time to settle in my heart. You made a mistake. You have buried the seed. That's what they are saying. You are buried, we can't see it, but it's growing beneath. One day, it will shoot a blade. Then it will begin bear fruit. Then one day, the fruit will mature, it will begin drop, and you won't know where it began from. Listen, the part of the things I'm teaching on radio now, sin, listen, is the reason why people will not do well in life. Please, I hope we are getting my point. He said, what about this man? I said, you don't know what he will have become, and you don't know what he's going through right now. Forget what newspapers write about people. There are people who are broke, busted, and disgusted that you think they are big men. Get what I'm going to say? That is, we have come to understand that there are things you don't do if you want to fulfill God's destiny for your life. Therefore, you don't determine, I won't do it, because there are pressures out there. That's what we are saying. So what do? We draw near to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help on the time of temptation. Because time is gone, I have to continue this next time. I will explain in practical terms how you use the word of God, the truth you have discovered, to pray. Listen, let me summarize it like this. The only thing a believer has as strength is what? Prayer. Let me tell you how to handle temptations and the challenges of life. Write them like a letter. And go to the temple like Hezekiah. You know what I'm saying? carry the newspaper, carry all the bad letters, carry all the negative evidences. Carry doctor's report if necessary. Carry reports of, download reports of IMF from the internet if necessary. Spread them on the floor. Read them, don't close your eyes. Abraham considered his body. Are you getting my point? He was not an ignoramus. You have left school. Don't deceive yourself that there are no jobless people out there. There are. Get the statistics of the degree of joblessness. Put it down. And then kneel in front of it. Say, Holy Spirit, read that letter. I'm waiting for you to finish. Have you finished that report? Read the next one. This is what IMF said. This is what everybody has said. Do you know why I'm here? Because I've heard the word of God. I've heard Pastor Banky teach. I have read my scripture. I read this man's book. I read Ken Hagin's book. I heard Bishop Oyedepo say this. I watched Pastor Poju on TV. And all what they all said is contrary to what these reports are saying. That is a promise I have come to claim. Are you getting what I'm saying? But these are the challenges. These are the things that make a man fear. Because you know fear is a trouble on his own. These are the things that men see and their hearts begin to feel. Therefore, Lord, I have come to receive strength. I don't want to disobey you because, you see, I told you, when you go to pray, stop speaking English. You know what I mean by English. Lord, we have come to approach your throne with grace in our hands. And we know that you are the God that does not fail. And because you did not fail in the beginning, you will not fail tomorrow. When you were making Jupiter, all heavens were standing erect. Listen, my friend, you were not there. Why are you lying? Which heaven was standing erect? Where were you? Say it simply. God, you know why I have come today? I did fear. One of my friends called me one day. One of my younger friends. He said one day when he saw things happening, he suddenly saw a picture of what he would be like when he's 30, when he's 40. And he became afraid. And he cried and cried. He said, no wonder you will do well in life. That is when you enter that kind of situation, you're about to make it big. If you know what to do with it, you say, God, this is what I have seen. Because sometimes people profess faith because they are so ignorant, they don't know what's going on. They don't know the troubles, the challenges a young man, a young woman has to face. They say they have faith. Do you get my point? He said he looked at his life and that is watching what was happening to other people, watching where he was coming from. Suddenly fear gripped him and he began to cry. He was afraid. And he saw the experience he has had over the last few months, few years, when nothing was happening. He suddenly began to cry. I've had people call me at different times and say, sir, I am afraid in my mind. Very good. You see, you must get to a position where you understand that there is cause to be afraid. Then you gather the things, put them, this is where Christianity is sweet. Did I hear the word sweet? Yes. This is where it is sweet. You put it down and read it simply to God. This is why I am afraid. This is why I have come. What have I come for? I don't want to disobey. I don't want fear to grip me. I know according to the word that I have heard your minister speak, according to what I have read from the scriptures, this is what my future will be like. Therefore, I have come to receive mercy and grace to help so that my heart will not faint, so that I will obey that which I have discovered you are communicating to me. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up, pack your rubbish report, burn it, and go away. You know what happens? The Bible says there is a peace of God that passes all understanding. That is, even you will not understand this crazy confidence. The next day you come out. They say, look at all the troubles. They say, small thing. Listen, by the time I'm 40, I'll be a billionaire. I will buy that thing. I will create this amount of jobs. I will do that. I say, look at you. And suddenly, listen, the ability to doubt has vanished. I don't know whether you're getting my point. It's not a matter of, hey, in Jesus' name, I wonder. No, the doubt has died. When they say, sell your birthright for a morsel of meat. He said, what?
Do you know what this birthright is worth? Suddenly the confidence that grips you. Listen, let me tell you the truth. Satan knows when he sees a confident man. The troubles of life, there are troubles that go near your door. They smell your confidence, they go away. They are just passing, looking for whom they may devour. And as they are passing, the trouble comes. And then he hears you discussing with a friend of yours. And you are discussing, say, leave them. See all this calamity that's befalling them. It's good. God is setting us up and we are about to take over everything. Satan will look in front and say, why waste time here? There are more vulnerable prey to. There are people who are already afraid. Let's put more fear into them. Do you get my point? Listen, I'll develop that again next time. But the point I'm making is this. That is the key that you and I have as believers. It is not the ability to read and recite. Anybody can do that. It is not the ability to read all the business principles of life. Anybody can do that. Listen, it is the ability to have the confidence that is infused into you by God that Satan will smell. Listen, you know what is happening to the children of Israel? When the mountains hear they are coming, they change their position. There are troubles that will smell your confidence that God will pour into you and they won't even come near you. Do you get the point? Listen, that's the key that you have. That's what I have. That is what Jesus used while he was on earth. It's not about being a strong man. It's knowing where to go and gather strength from when it appears like you are weak. I hope you've gotten my point.